views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today is February the 4th, 2017. One of my daughters had a birthday yesterday. She just turned 25. Happy birthday to her, which I've already expressed. My beautiful daughter by the name of Ayana, which means beautiful one. Do have, obviously, a couple of news stories to get to during this first hour, but our second hour will be reserved for the main topic. I am asking a question, basically, and the question is about sports and black people. Should they play ball? Around this time, well, tomorrow is the biggest sports event of the year here in the United States. Some might even say the world, with the NFL stage and the Super Bowl. Now, this, we know, is watched every year by millions of people all over the planet, but primarily here in the United States. But whenever the Super Bowl is held, whenever you have like the NBA championships and what have you, some black people will come out and say that other black people should not play professional sports, and all they're doing is entertaining white people when they play those professional sports. Then there are those who will compare playing professional sports to slavery. Yes, they compare athletes voluntarily playing a game to get paid and getting paid sometimes millions of dollars, especially if they're good, and they're comparing that to slavery. Slavery, where we're talking about people who are forced to work against their will, beaten, tortured, all manner of things done to them if they don't comply. So, I don't see the comparison there, so obviously I don't agree with those comparisons, because we're still trying to end slavery in this country. We're not trying to create new categories for it. We're trying to end it, all right? And to me, there's no comparison. And I do not share that view with those who say black people shouldn't play professional sports. And they're particularly talking about black men. But now you have hundreds of women who are playing professional sports. Soccer has always been popular. They have a professional soccer league for men and women. But the WNBA, now you have a lot of women who are playing professional basketball through the WNBA, which is an affiliate corporation to the NBA. So whatever your thoughts are, I'm not looking for people to agree with me on anything, but I do suspect that people have different views of points of views than I do, and I want to hear those points of views. Maybe you can change my mind and show me how I'm not looking at this right, or I'm not looking at it logically, because sometimes, you know, I am. A lot of times I have been wrong about stuff, but in terms of this, it's a matter of opinion. And people can hold their opinions and support those opinions. Hopefully they could support any opinions with logical evidence or logical arguments if they're going to hold those opinions. But before I get to the main topic, Do have a number of articles that I want to go over during this first hour. Here are those headlines that I want to share and perhaps share a little bit of commentary about the Delaware prison rebellion. I always call what they call riots, I call them rebellions. All right. So there's this article that came out, says titled Five Reasons That May Have Caused the Delaware Prison Riot. New FCC, talking about the Federal Communications Commission, won't defend at District of Columbia's parts of inmate call caps. That was a poorly written headline. I just copied and pasted it. But what they're talking about is there was a push to limit how much you could charge prisoners for phone calls. And ultimately, it's their families that's being charged. And we have reported on over the years, especially through New Abolitionist Radio, how these rates are nothing more than price gouging. And it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous to be charging these people that kind of money, especially when they're in modern day slavery. Where are they supposed to get all this money from? To stay in contact with their families. So that's a story that I want to share with the new FCC. Apparently this guy has been confirmed. Lots of things that I see. Well, I shouldn't say a lot of things, but a couple of things that I see that he has, or positions that he has taken, that I am certainly not in favor of, especially like net neutrality in allowing corporations to charge platforms extra money in order for the people using internet provider service. Well, they want to try to charge a website like Black Talk Radio Network extra fees. Well, they're not charging us anything, but want to charge us fees in order for people utilizing their service to access our website. So that's a petition. It's called Net Neutrality, which would prevent that. He seems to not be in favor of net neutrality, but I do want to focus on this one issue of the telephone calls, the inmate telephone calls. All right, another article. Tennessee governor is seeking free community college for all adults. Apparently they already got a program where high school graduates can get free community college, and they want to, or at least this governor, and it seems that he has bipartisan support, as he was applauded when he announced this by members of both parties. Of course, we're talking about the state of Tennessee. So they want to expand that, and they want free community college for all adults. And I can just hear the Hillary Clinton supporters out there now. I know that was a big part of Bernie Sanders' platform of free tuition to go to state colleges and universities, not private colleges, not private universities, but state colleges and state universities, which sometimes would also include these community colleges. And I know that I started hearing talking points about that, and I started hearing even black people repeating those talking points about, oh, people just want stuff for free, nothing is free, and blah 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 blah. Just ridiculous to be against such a program. I guess those people must like being in debt, as they still paying off their college loans well into their 40s and sometimes 50s. So that just blew my mind that anybody, especially among an oppressed group, will be like, no, we don't want free college. Yeah, I mean, get out of here. It just goes to show you how easily people's minds are controlled. I know we hear that a lot about white people who vote Republican, say they vote against their own interests. But in that regard, in concerning the proposal coming from Bernie Sanders during the presidential campaign or the Democratic primaries, is that I heard a lot of black people vote against their own interests and saying, oh, we don't need free college. Who you lying to? Are you trying to, who you trying to convince? So anyway, let me move on. The other story I want to also share with you, The FCC is going to stop 9 companies from providing federally subsidized internet to the poor. Apparently, there is a program that I had never heard about to where if you are low income, that they will give you some, it's not a whole lot of money, something like a $10 credit to help you get internet. And it's mainly, this program is mainly so that poor children will have access to the internet so that they can do homework and research and, you know, to complete their school projects and what have you. So anyway, the FCC, there were 9 companies that were recently approved to provide this subsidy to a low-income users of their service, and now it's going to be stopped. There are, in fact, hundreds of companies that participate in this, and I don't know if they're actually going to look towards eliminating the program entirely. But, you know, again, if you're a Hillary Clinton supporter out there, you probably think that these people don't need no free internet. Ain't nothing in life free. So why we want to give these poor kids free internet? You know. So anyway, another story. Africa. Trump's Africa policy unclear and uncertain. That's an article that I subscribe to, allafrica.com, so I can see what's going on the continent. They do a great job in producing news articles covering just about every country in Africa. So if you're not subscribed to allafrica.com and you have an interest on what's going on the continent, I would recommend that you get a subscription, and it's free. When I say subscription, I mean subscribing to their newsletters or whatnot. You don't have to pay for it. This article, they're looking at the Trump administration, Africans are, and they're just wondering which policies is the Trump administration going to continue, or if they are going to stop some of these programs. In my opinion, from reading this article, which I'll get more into and share, sound like they're begging. Sound like they're hooked on American butter biscuits. And it seems like they getting all this aid money from the United States, which, of course, comes with strings attached. Nothing is free. Remember, that's what they told us. So it comes off to me like begging. And it's kind of like embarrassing considering that continent, Africa, is rich in natural resources, whether we're talking about oil, whether we're talking about gold, cobalt, many type of minerals that are used in industries. You can't even make a cell phone without certain minerals that are only found in Africa. So it just comes off as embarrassing to me. Embarrassing that although they have all of these rich resources, that you got some of these people wondering whether or not they gonna keep on getting butter biscuits from America. A lot of it has to do with corruption in Africa, a lot of misleadership, but also it also has to do with racism and terrorism, where if these countries do not go along, they are terrorized. See what they did to Libya, right? And last but not least, Trump is supposed to sign an executive order that is going to support HBCUs. Now, that's a story I kind of chopped off the headline. I do not like the way that, I think it's the Root. Yeah, the Root is the source of this article. And the Root targets black people. It isn't owned by black people, but it targets black people. Is that right? Yeah, the Root with Henry Gates. He just a minority owner in the whole ordeal. The Root is owned by Univision. And so, but the way that they write articles, and I have talked about this in the past, in the headlines, they just seem so juvenile. They just don't seem to be a serious news organization. They just really don't. Will I dare say that their headlines are ghetto? Yeah, I said it. Their headlines are often what we call in the black community ghetto. Ghetto fabulous. So that's just a shame that they think that you have to, like black people, you can't just speak in plain English or write in plain English, that you gotta, you know, I tell you, man, in this particular article, it's all about Trump, what they want you to believe, Trump trying to outdo Obama in terms of HBCUs, which Obama didn't do anything for HBCUs. From what I heard from people that were talking about the issue. So anyway, Trump is supposed to sign this executive order to support HBCUs. So I guess some of the people at the root don't want Trump to do this because he just trying to one-up Obama, because Obama didn't do nothing. He just trying to make Obama look bad in terms of HBCUs. I mean, it's, man, sometimes I'll just never figure out where people are coming from. So those are some of the news stories that I want to get through in this first hour. Again, the main topic or question, I should say, I'm asking, with tomorrow being the biggest sports event of the year with the NFL staging the Super Bowl, millions of people on the planet will be watching it. But we have those in the black community who say that black men, and that's who they're talking about, but black men should not be playing ball games to entertain white people. And again, the comparisons of professional sports to slavery, I don't get that. Maybe you do. I don't. I see no comparison whatsoever. So I don't hold those particular views, but I have been hearing people talk in this manner, and not just recently, but it's every year. It's every year that there is the Super Bowl or the NBA championships. There are those who will start talking about, oh, this is nothing but slavery or a bunch of Negroes that's just entertaining white people. So that is the main topic, but we'll get into that during the second hour. And if you would like to share anything with us, comment on some of the news stories we'll be going over, or when we get into the main topic, should black people be playing ball games, you can give us a call at 866-510-9025. That number again is 866-510-9025. You can also give us a call at 704-802-5056. That's 704-802-5056. All right, and hit star, that will unmute you. I should see you. If I don't, just say something like that. You know, let me know you're there and we'll come to you. So let's get into some of these stories. Again, there was a prison rebellion that happened in Delaware this week, and we actually talked about it not in depth because we don't have a whole lot of details yet. More is starting to come out now, but we talked a little bit about that on Wednesday night's broadcast of New Abolitionist Radio. And the consensus, as we had a guest who was a former slave on a prison plantation, said that he can bet you that this just didn't come out of nowhere. People do not rebel or riot in prison just for the sake of rioting. That something has been occurring for a long period of time, or something happened to just spark, you know, the riot, meaning that, you know, they've been abused all this time, and then one more abuse on that particular day, people just wasn't having it and they was fed up. So that's what the former slave had to say. Mike, I forget his last name, but please check that out. It is in the archives for New Abolitionist Radio. So here is an article that comes to you from Yahoo.com. Says five reasons that may have caused the Delaware prison riot. It was written by a person named Shirley Bursquet, something like that. Says the hostage standoff that left one slave catcher dead, and I'm substituting words here, so the hostage standoff that left one prison plantation overseer dead at a Delaware prison ended Thursday morning, hours after inmates used sharp instruments to assume control, the Associated Press reported. Police were ultimately able to breach the James T. Vaughn Correctional Center in Smyrna, about 40 miles south of Wilmington. An inmate told the News Journal in Wilmington and said, this is a poorly written article. An inmate told the News Journal in Wilmington the reasons for doing what we're doing included President Donald Trump, everything that he did, all the things that he's doing now. We know that the institution of slavery is going to change for the worse. The unidentified inmate, who reportedly was housed in Building C, the same area where the prison plantation overseers were taken, indicated that he and his fellow prisoners did not have great access to educational programs. Overcrowding has limited inmates' chances of transferring to medium security building, even with good behavior, the prisoner added. Inmates have also requested effective rehabilitation for all prisoners and information about how funding is distributed to prisons. Below are some of the concerns of general prison conditions that may have triggered the nearly 24-hour crisis. Number one, prison overcrowding. Prison overcrowding, something that's common throughout the United States, has disabled prisons from functioning properly and could lead to more violence between the prisoners and the correction officers. Now, why they want to say that the prisons ain't functioning properly when they are functioning properly as plantations? Okay, in the so-called New Jim Crow. No, it's not New Jim Crow. It's the same crow. All right, it's slavery. So these plantations are doing exactly what they're meant to do. I don't think that they may have named them correctional institutions, but they were not trying to correct anyone or rehabilitate anyone. It's all about punishment and slavery. Slavery as punishment. And it says that the overcrowding could lead to more violence between the prisoners and the correction officers. The cause of the penitentiary overcrowding varies. It can be due to limited room in prisons, high crime rates, and changes to laws and improvements to law enforcement tactics. See, this is why we have to be careful when we share stuff with our listening audience from corporate media, mainstream media. Sometimes those may be the only choices, but if you are informed on these issues, then you'll know when you're coming across BS. The prison overcrowding is not due to high crime rates. Crime rates statistically have been dropping for decades now. All right. So it's not a higher, more people are committing robberies and burglaries and rapes and violent crimes have been on the way down. So that's not it. What it is that this is slavery. You have laws on the books criminalizing people behavior that people have engaged in since people been on this planet, like the use of certain plants for medicinal and recreational purposes. Obviously, I'm talking about cannabis, but you have these laws that criminalize certain activities, criminalize certain substances that grow naturally, and they were criminalized so that they could be then you the laws could be used to target people, to put them into prison so they can then be hired out to work in the mines, to build the railroad, to go back on the plantations that they had temporarily gotten reprieve from, to hire them out to Fortune 500 companies. This is still going on to this day. That is why you have overcrowding in prisons. It's not because the crime rate is going up. And again, the majority of people who are in prison today are in there over victimless crimes, meaning that they didn't commit a crime against an individual. What they have been convicted on, charged with, is committing a crime against a quote-unquote state. And who is the state supposed to be? The state is supposed to represent the people. Well, let me say the state of North Carolina does not represent me in those laws that make up the drug war. I don't believe that I should be paying tax money to lock up people on a prison plantation because they was using cannabis, or they was shooting heroin, or they was snorting coke. Their body, their free will, long as they didn't involve me in it, then that's not a crime against me. We want to try to legislate so-called morality. Now, there are some things that, you know, we definitely should adhere to a moral code, like thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not tell lies on people. Yeah, we should embrace those sort of things. But when we start saying that people who engage in certain activities that we ourselves may not engage in, who made us the authority on morality? For example, I once was in court one time, and I saw this woman being charged for living with a man she wasn't married to. That's legislating morality. That ain't none of my business who that woman lives with and whether or not she's married to the person that she lives with. That ain't none of my business. That ain't none of the state of North Carolina's business. And so why is there a law on the books even to criminalize somebody living with another grown person? It's just ridiculous. Overuse of solitary confinement is point number two. The Department of Justice describes solitary confinement as any type of detention that involves, one, removal from the general inmate population, whether voluntary or involuntary; two, placement in a locked room or cell, whether alone or with another inmate; and three, inability to leave the room or cell for the vast majority of the day, typically 22 hours or more. It is in the U.S., it is estimated that 80,000 individuals are being held in some form of isolation. Now, let me tell you what the international community says about solitary confinement, and not just in terms of law, but also in terms of the medical community and the psychiatry community. Solitary confinement is torture. They have done the study, they have done the research, and it is rightly described as torture. You can put somebody and lock them up in a tiny cell by themselves for 24 hours, and they will come out permanently damaged. That's according to the doctors. That's not according to me. Now, obviously, that's not going to be every individual, because individuals have different tolerance levels. Some can take more abuse than others and not have it, you know, impact them in the same way or affect them in the same way. But solitary confinement is torture. So in the United States, it's estimated that 80,000 individuals are being tortured in some form or fashion. Number three, HIV/AIDS and tuberculosis are much higher in prison. Talking about TB. It is estimated that prisoners were five times more likely to be living with HIV. TB rates in many prisons were 10 to 100 times greater than anywhere else. Well, you know what else they're not mentioning here is hepatitis C. hepatitis C, which there is a cure for. And I have seen commercials now that they have come up with this cure. And I've seen the commercials for the drug that will cure a person, not treat the symptoms, but cure a person of Hep C. We've talked about Mumia Abdul-Jabbar going through the courts in Pennsylvania to get access to this life-saving medication. All right. And so what it is you go in prison a healthy individual and come out with HIV, AIDS, or TB, or Hep C. These are epidemic levels in our prisons. You would think that the CDC would have declared a health emergency with the health crises that are occurring in these prisons. But again, these are just prisoners. They're not regular people like you and me, okay? They were smoking weed. They got caught. They're in prison. And so they're not people anymore. So we don't want to concern ourselves with those slaves, because slaves aren't people. They're inhuman. They're not real. They're subhuman. I wouldn't even call them human. All right. So it doesn't matter. Didn't the Lord give us a domain over the beast of the field? These are beasts of the field to do with as we please. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic here. But you got to wonder, with this health crisis that's going on in these jails and in these prisons, why isn't the CDC intervening proactively and doing something to bring this under control? These people get out of prison, and then what? They come to the community, right? They come back to the community, right? And then what happens? Diseases get spread. That's what happens. So they're pissed off about that. In 2014, number four, sexual abuse. In 2014, a new study conducted by the Justice Department documented more than 8,763 allegations of prisoner sexual victimization between 2009 and 2011. And you can bet that's way underreported. That was an 11% increase over the number of allegations documented in a report covering 2007 and 2008. The study found 49% of the unwanted sexual misconduct or harassment, ranging from verbal sexual harassment to non-consensual sexual penetration. In 2003, Congress passed the Prison Rape Elimination Act, known as PREA. Its purpose was to lessen the rate of sexual abuse that goes on in prisons, but based on these numbers, the law didn't do much. It wasn't nothing but lip service, man. Nothing but lip service. Now, this is something, though, I will say this. This is something that the victims of slavery today are doing to themselves or doing to each other. So this is something they can put a stop to. All right. So I just want to acknowledge that. I want to acknowledge that nobody is forcing anybody to rape anybody. Now, like I heard a former prisoner say, a former slave, I think it was last week, but they described that situation as an unnatural environment. Well, obviously, yes, it is an unnatural environment. And you put a bunch of men together in prison, men that still have testosterone. I probably mispronounced that right. But they're still sexually active. They're in an unnatural environment where there are no women or whatsoever. So I don't think it should be so surprising that you will have homosexual behavior in an environment like that. But in terms of rape, though, that's something prisoners can stop themselves. Only thing prisoners cannot stop themselves is these guards that's raping people. I was just looking at a story the other day about this one guard. He's been fired, but he had raped about 6 or 7 women. He was in a women's prison and was never criminally charged. Oh, they fired him after a number of complaints that the prison itself was able to substantiate. But do you think the district attorney, where these crimes occurred, prosecuted this man? No, they did not. They never prosecute him. I shouldn't say never, but most cases, these people don't get prosecuted. And most of the time, nothing happens to them. So, and then number five, they list poor sanitary conditions. I have reported on stories over the years about mold, mildew, all kind of unsanitary conditions. Some of the guys in prison have been able to post videos and stuff, or take photos through contraband and get that out to the public. And so they're living in horrid conditions and what have you. So the conditions have been created for violence to pop off, like it's popping off or was popping off in this prison in Delaware. So I probably spent too much time on that, but you know, this is very important. So I just want to express that I stand in solidarity with everyone who is a victim of 21st century slavery and human trafficking. I don't care if they holding nonviolent work stoppages or going on hunger strikes, or if they are rebelling physically. I stand in solidarity. How dare I prescribe to them how they should resist slavery? Oh, y'all want to be nonviolent now? Don't be violent. Don't hurt nobody and all this and that, as these men are being brutalized every freaking day. Again, this is slavery. So who am I to tell a slave how to resist slavery? All right. So that's that story. Another story. Let me try to get through these quickly. I am overdue for a station identification break. Well, I'm doing 2 hours, so I'll take it at the top of the hour. Okay, the new FCC rules concerning phone calls. This is something that we've talked about on this network, on this station, on the program New Abolitionist Radio, where we really, you know, that's a weekly program that focuses on these legalized slavery-related issues. But Republicans at the FCC, let me read this article. The FCC won't defend at the D.C. Circuit Court, is what I think they meant to write, parts of an inmate call caps. So this was published on about a few days ago. Republicans newly at the helm of the Federal Communications Commission told the D.C. Circuit Tuesday that the commission will not defend two aspects of an attempt to cap inmate calling rates by the previous FCC in court next week, backing off from capping intrastate rates. The initial October 2015 order passed along party lines when Democrats were in charge. The FCC's Deputy General Counsel, David M. Gossett, said in writing to the court, and then dissenting Republicans chairman, Ajit Pai, I think is this new chairman's name, and Commissioner Michael O'Reilly do not endorse. Now, to read that full article, it's on law360.com. You will have to register, and you can check it out for free for 7 days. But I know a little bit about this. For those in everybody in the black community, I think, knows somebody or has a family member that has been impacted by this. So this has to do with the telephone, phone calls made from prisons, or, well, you can't call to a prison and speak to somebody. So, yeah, these are calls that prisoners make to their family members or to their attorneys or whoever they need to speak with. And they get charged something like, for example, I heard Max say something like, was charged something like $10 for a 5-minute call or $10 for a 10-minute call, something like that. But it's astronomical rates. All right. They are taking advantage of the slaves and the slaves' families and forcing them to pay these high rates. Well, this is something that prisoner advocates have been fighting for a very long time, to get those rates capped. and they should be regular phone rates. I mean, it's not like they doing anything different in providing phone service from a prison by putting phones in the prison than if they put those phones in a school or if they put those phones at a bus station. You know, again, this is just another way for people or another way that companies are profiting off of slavery in this country, legalized slavery. And it seemed that the prisoner advocates, those working on this issue, were making some headway. But again, with each changing, when there's a changing of the administration, these rules can change. These priorities can change. So it appears to me that the lawsuit that the FCC may have filed against some companies that were gouging prisoners on the prices of these phone calls to stop it, to cap it, seems now, well, it does say that the current FCC are not going to go forward with that. And that's just sad. That's just pathetic. That's just pitiful. But again, this is slavery. So it's not shocking. It's not surprising. This is slavery. You live or we live behind the enemy lines of a capitalist country, and capital comes before human beings, unless that human being is your capital. And how do you make a human being capital? By making a slave out of them. Pretty pathetic. All right, next story. We have a Tennessee governor. Let me check the board. Area code 423. I'm sorry, I don't know how long you were unmuted. You please jump in if I'm talking. Jump in and say, hey, I have a comment or a question. But 423, thank you for joining us. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Okay, hey, how you doing, Scott?
Hey, what's going on? This male?
No, this Jerry. This
Jerry. I'm sorry. Jerry, what's up with you? We talking about Tennessee in this next story, bro, about the free college that governor pushing for, free community college. But did you want to comment on something that I've shared thus far?
Yeah, both of those. Excuse me, let me, I'm in the midst of doing things. I just got temporary custody of my oldest daughter, so it might be a little noise with her little siblings, got her over here when I go in the house, but I'm gonna step right back outside. But as far as that free community college for the first 2 years, that actually already been in place. What they trying to do right for about the last year and a half, I believe, it's been in place already. So the people that graduated last year, if they chose to go to like Chattanooga State or some state college in Tennessee, it was free for them to go. I'm hoping that they'll excuse some of my student loan debt and kind of catch that up for me too, but I ain't holding my breath. But that's awesome. What he's trying to do is make all in-state college free.
Yeah,
so from this state.
Well, Jerry, this particular article though says that program that you just talked about, that was for high school graduates. But now he's trying to expand it so that anybody, adults, that if I want to go back to school and get a degree at a community college, for example, at the local community college where I am in North Carolina, they have a communications program, you know, like radio, if you want to get into broadcast communications and what have you, that I would be able to go back and get it for free. So that sounds like what he's trying
awesome.
To do. Yeah, it would be awesome, man. Would that benefit? Do you think that would benefit people in your family and your community?
Man, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is not only my family or my community, but just all people in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not concerned about. We're more concerned about our community, but that will help everybody. And I'm hoping that will be the catalyst for letting this go forward. You know, that because, you know, they always do something for themselves and we kind of catch the crumbs off of that. Right. This would be a great transition for that to happen.
You know,
for all of the, because this, what people don't realize, even some of our people, it's more poor white people than it is poor black people. You know, we get ostracized and we get the face of it and everything, but it's a lot more of them than us. So with that happening, that'll help a lot of their friends that they may have grew up with, you know, this senator, you know, he got friends that he grew up with that he probably go back and see, and they all drugged out, their family living bad, and he might feel some type of responsibility to help them, you know, and we'll just catch the, because I always think it's some type of ulterior motive whenever these things pop up, because it's not, he's not doing this for us, you know.
Not black people specifically.
Right. He's not doing that for us, you know. And I'm pretty sure it'll be some stipulations to go along with that that'll try to exclude us with that.
Probably with that, if you got the felony slave brand, you probably will be excluded. And that's sad. And,
you know what's crazy? Because you can get a felony now as an adolescent, you know, fighting in on the school grounds. You know how I'm sure it happened when I was younger. I'm sure it happened when you was younger. You and two guys get into a spat and y'all be out there squabbing. I don't know what y'all call it, but you know, they be out there fighting. You know, they giving children felonies for that now, and a few other things. So that's one of the ways that you could be excluded, like you just mentioned with the felony, where you can get a felony before you get out of elementary school now.
Right, and so, you can be a felon without ever going to prison, because you can get like a felony, but it might be your first offense, and so they're going to give you a suspended sentence, but that still would eliminate you from many of these social programs, and that is what this is. This is a social welfare program.
Right. And, you know, the biggest receivers of welfare, once again, is not us in the black community. Not us by a long shot. You know, so I don't want nobody to think that this is happening for us, because 9 times out of 10, that is not what's going on. But we do have the ability to take it up, you know. It's just a matter of how many people will go out there and try.
Jerry.
That's the biggest thing.
Jerry, if I lived in Tennessee, yes, this is what I would be doing. If I lived in Tennessee, I would be calling my representatives and I'll be saying, yes, this is a great proposal. I support it. But I know that y'all might try to eliminate some people, and that, you know, what are the stipulations? We don't think it should eliminate people with felonies, because those are the people that need the most help in order to become gainfully employed. So I would be putting, it would be our responsibility, because we know that if they put a no felon clause in the bill, that's going to disproportionately eliminate our community. So we should make sure that's not in there. So this is why it's important to pay attention and also be involved in the process. What are your thoughts?
I completely agree with you. But, you know, here's another thing that I want to add. All of this infrastructure that's going on, we've always been taught to work for somebody. At least everybody I know. You go to school, you graduate, you go to college, you get you a good job somewhere so you can take care of your family. And on the other hand, our counterparts, whichever one you might be speaking of, white people, Asian people, Hispanics, they get taught, you go to school, you learn a trade, and you open your own business. See, with this free college, even what they got going on now, if you want to do something electronic or any of those type of things, we could be going to school right now. Our children that's getting ready to graduate, they could be going to school for a trade.
Yeah, electrician,
air conditioner. Yeah, electrician, air conditioning, refrigeration,
automotive, masonry, auto mechanics, carpentry.
Right. See, all of these things. And see, what that would do is that would take our reliance off of everybody else in such a big way.
Yeah. You know, President Obama, and like somebody said to me when they brought him up, they said, "I know you don't think too highly of President Obama." And they're right, I don't. But there was some good things that they tried to do and did do. And one of those things that he was proposing was like what y'all have in Tennessee, 2-year tuition-free community college for high school graduates. I think they also may have...
You know what that would do?
Well, what's that?
I'm sorry, Scott. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, though, that he had made that proposal. He knows it's important. So then why then did he allow people to clown Bernie Sanders when he was proposing the same thing? And we heard all these black people. I heard them myself with my own ears on black radio saying, people just want stuff for free. We shouldn't be getting stuff for free. I'm like, man. But go ahead, Jerry.
I agree with you. I done heard that too. And my thing is that I used to be one of those people. Not as far as like what they talking about Bernie Sanders and Obama or nothing. But it had got to the point to where we wouldn't get nothing at all when my mama had me. I was raised to don't ask nobody for nothing. I done got to the point to where wherever I'm gonna get some help from, I'm gonna receive that help if it's within my my guidelines, because all help is not meant for you to have. So you have to be able to have some discernment about that. But
Jerry,
you can call it a free handout or whatever.
Jerry,
help is help.
Jerry.
Yes, sir.
In terms of these social services programs, and this is a conversation I've had with my mom, and I agree with her, and because I was already thinking along those same lines. Haven't you, sir, been working and paying taxes?
Exactly. I even served in the military like you did.
So
USS Nassau, U.S. Navy.
So since you paying into this, so you paying into this system, you are certainly, you should make a withdrawal when you need one. That's the way I look at it.
You are exactly right. And that's the thought pattern that we have to have, not only people of our age brackets, whether it's your age bracket or mine, but everybody that falls up under us. Because right now it's a lot of children that wanna go to school. But see, I think they would be wanting to go to school for the wrong thing. They go to school looking for let's say they want to be CNAs, right? Mm-hmm. Which that's a good trade to have. But how many people have that skill? So now you done put yourself into a pool of a million people. You know, it's so many people in the hood that can do taxes.
Right.
It's only so many people in the hood, though.
Right.
You know, so some of y'all gonna get excluded. But with this 2-year free tuition, now, if you want to go do a CNA, okay, that's going to take you a year to get your certification for that. You still have another year to go become, like you said, an electrician, a diesel mechanic like I am, an auto mechanic, you know, because some of these things, even if you don't go into that field, maybe you could save yourself some money working on your own stuff. Or you might be able to partner with somebody, y'all do a joint venture, and you open up a program. If one of y'all credit ain't that good, the other one is. Okay, we got 2 employees. We need a loan to get this building up, or this, that, and the other. Now, instead of going and having to find somebody to do this work, both of y'all can split the workload, you know, and ain't nobody being cheated. You
right.
know, you go ahead on and pay your loan off, now you have a building and you have a business. You know, how many black-owned operator truck drivers is it out there that don't have no black-owned diesel shop to go to get their stuff
that's true.
Serviced, their car washed, you know, because this stuff costs money. When I, before they, because see, I done worked in several diesel shops, but where I'm at here in Tennessee, they don't want no black people in they shops, so they'll let us come as far as like temp work, 7 to 9 months or something like that. And when and then when the work starts slowing down, you the first one out the door.
Right.
You know, and that's how it worked. But that it wouldn't work in that manner if, say, I got two partners that went to school with me. We was the only three guys in our diesel mechanic shop. We used to have to fix all of the stuff that the white folks used to tear up. After they tore it up, they would bring it to us, see what we could do. We'd get the people's stuff running. But none of us got jobs while almost 90% of the white folks got jobs somewhere.
Now, see, what you're talking about is how we should be thinking. Like you know, instead of us being temps, then we could become, with the education and certification, contractors.
Exactly.
Right. So I agree, man. It's great.
But we have to... I'm sorry, Scotty, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that I think free community college, tuition-free community college is a great idea, and it needs to be national. Them European nations do it for their citizens, so why don't they? Why would anybody against that be against that here? Unless they like paying off student loans. I don't know, Jerry. Maybe somebody like some people like paying student loans for half their lives.
Some people die before they get them done. So you can stretch that out for your entire life, because every day is interest added on to it. So
right.
But what I was calling in for is that was a great point that you had made, and I had read about that, and I talked to people about that. My little cousin just got a scholarship to Austin Peay. She got a scholarship to Austin Peay, and I was just telling her mama, I was like, well, you know, it's free to go to college here. She can go to Chattanooga State and learn this, that, and the other for free right now. She was like, well, it's free for her because she got a scholarship. And I'm like, well, you know, if she go to – I ain't even getting to it because, you know certain people and you know how they're going to respond.
Right.
When she responded like that, that let me know that she didn't want to hear nothing else about it, so I ain't going to it. But I was thinking in my mind, if she got this scholarship, she can apply for that scholarship later on. But in the meantime, she could go and she could actually grow up and get a little more mature and still be here. And I already have some type of skill to where while she in school, she ain't got to keep calling you for money, asking everybody else for money. She could been right. Got a skill and be working while she at school. Not to mention, I already have some of her credits already done.
Mm-hmm. That's you what know, I told but, my daughters, but, man. We had went to go visit a HBCU here in North Carolina that she wanted to go to. And then when I started looking at the financial paperwork, I told her straight up, I was like, no, I'm not going into debt. And I advise you not to go into debt. I said, we have a community college right there in our county that you can go to for 2 years. It'll be a lot cheaper. And then you can transfer after you get, you know, most of your required credits out the way, that first 2 years. Then you can transfer to another school and get your degree issued by that school.
Exactly. You know, here go the trick right here, Scotty, is that our schools have been dumbed down so much. Not just the black people, but everybody else, especially not in all public schools, and sometimes it's based on the person themselves. But 90% of us go into college having to take remedial courses anyway. You know what I'm saying? So now when you got that scholarship is 4 years. If you're taking remedial classes your first year and some of your second year, by the time you get ready to graduate, you don't have that scholarship no more. Now, don't nobody be thinking about that part of it either, because it's all free up until a certain time. It's not until you get your degree. It's only a small window that they give you that scholarship for. And if you're not using it for whatever major that you're applying to, that once you finally get to that, if your time done expired, you owe money for that. Mm. You got to pay for that.
Right.
And see, we going in there under the pretenses that it's all free.
Got you.
They at least should have fixed y'all some.
All right. Well, I'm at the I'm at the top of the hour, Jerry. I'm going to go ahead and take a station identification break and just share a little bit of these last news stories that I got. I got about three. And then I want to get into the main topic about ball games. Should black people play professional sports? As I hear people, you know, especially when the Super Bowl come around, say how black people are being exploited by professional sports. And so I want to talk about that. Did you have anything else before I go to break?
Yes, sir. I was actually calling about the I wanted to get your opinion with this law that they have, the way they can repeal anything that happened in the last 60 days. And you brought up the point about the slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Obama he didn't commute nowhere close to what he promised to. But do you think it's a possibility that they will suspend some of those commutes that ain't got out of jail yet?
Are you saying
that they're doing?
Let me see. Are you asking me if the Trump administration may halt the release of any of those people that Obama commuted their sentences?
Yes.
That's a good question, and I don't have an answer. I would think that's not something that they could reverse. But again, this man, and he's not the only one, so I don't want people to think I'm just picking on Donald Trump. But coming in the gate, this man don't care nothing about the Constitution or established law. He's just going to do whatever he feel like doing and then deal with the foul out later. So with this person, it's possible, Jerry. Who can say?
Same thing I was thinking. I was just wanting to get another viewpoint from it, because I be trying to have these conversations with folks and they don't care nothing about nothing. And one more thing before you go. Donald Trump being a billionaire or what have you, we all know he got these billionaires on his cabinet and whatnot. Now he goes in and he says all of this stuff about people who he's worked with. And I don't see it as him it seems like he's talking crazy to the untrained eye or the untrained ear. But when I look at what happened when he, like, say, for instance, the pharmaceutical company, he go on air, talk crazy about them, about how low down they is and all of this, and then he do the same thing with his tweets. And what end up happening is they stocks rise a little bit. Now, I'm like you. I don't believe he's dumb whatsoever. I've one of my favorite books is the 48 Laws of Power and the Art of War. And everything that he does, man, I see all of the tactics coming out from these books. And for anybody that's listening, if you ain't ever read these books, these are books you need to check out, because reading the Order of the Deal by Donald Trump, if you want to get into that, that's your prerogative. But we need to be able to see the tactics that they be using and how to identify them, because he's into gold a lot also, not just money, because, you know, wealthy people know a lot. They know a lot about the finances that we, a lot of us, are just now learning listening to the Tando radio show, you know. But he's into gold. Now, when he does this, the stocks go up a little bit for these companies while he be bashing them. And what also happens is the price of gold is going up. You know, I had a conversation with Dave, and he said there's a possibility that we might be going back to the gold standard. You know, whether it's because of China or just because they want to keep wherever you at right now is where you're going to be at. So the Art of War, 48 Laws of Power, these are books that we all need to study. And that's my piece right there. I'll mute my line and I'll continue listening, Scotty.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you for sharing that with us. Yeah, we do need to pay attention to the different tactics that's being used in some of the books that you mentioned. Yeah, you can see these things play out on a geopolitical scale and what have you. So, yeah, we do need to be paying attention, not so much as to what the mainstream media wants us to pay attention to, which is usually some sensationalized story or what have you. But you know, just trying to see further down the road, what are these actions leading to? What are the possible outcomes that we could be looking at? If the United States does go back to the gold standard, I would suspect that that would be a good thing. But I also would suspect that there'll be some people trying to assassinate Donald Trump if he tried to do that, because that would totally eliminate the Federal Reserve, which a lot of people don't know is not part of the federal government. It's a private bank run owned by private individuals, and you're not even allowed to know who's on the board. Okay, I'm not talking about the little regional boards of the Federal Reserve. I'm talking about the big boys that actually own that bank, who the American people are paying interest to whenever money is printed up. All right, so let me take a station identification break. I'll hit these last few stories and then jump into the main topic, give my thoughts on black people playing professional sports. The Super Bowl's happening tomorrow. Most watched sporting event in the history of sporting events or television, period. So we have people who then start talking about these issues. So I want to talk about it. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. This is a weekly news and commentary program that comes on every Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Stay tuned. We'll be back on the other side. Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
And welcome back. You are tuned in to BTR News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. It is a Saturday evening. I hope that your evening has been as pleasant as mine seems to be going. Been very busy day. We had a class. We have classes every Saturday from 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time to 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. When I say we, I'm talking about the Black Talk Media Project. We have classes every Saturday for those looking to get into digital radio, get into podcasting, whether you're talking about audio podcasts or video, visual podcasting. If you're talking about building platforms for the internet and things of that nature, we had those classes every Saturday. And we had pretty good participation this morning, and I was happy about that. So I'm glad that the people who did attend and asked the questions that they asked, so that we can help each other. We can help each other in terms of gaining control of our images, gaining control of our voices, just gaining control of our entire beings in terms of what's being broadcast about us and being broadcast sometimes mostly by people who don't have our best interests at heart. All right, so that's every Saturday. The Black Talk Media Project has that class. It's right here done on the conference line that we use for our radio programs. That's uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. All right, so this morning we talked about copyrighted music and how to make your podcast legal and not get yourself hemmed up by some lawsuit because you were sharing Marvin Gaye or Stevie Wonder or, you know, whoever copyrighted music you were sharing without permission, without the proper licenses. And we want to protect ourselves from unnecessary lawsuits and entanglements. All right, the FCC is stopping 9 companies from providing federally subsidized internet to the poor. The FCC chairman, again, this is this new guy, Jit Pai, I'll learn how to pronounce his name, I'm not sure, but reverses, let me see, regulators are telling 9 companies they won't be allowed to participate in a federal program meant to help them provide affordable internet access to low-income consumers, week after those companies had been given the green light. The move announced Friday by FCC Chairman Ajit Pai reverses a decision by his predecessor, Tom Wheeler, and undercuts the company's ability to provide low-cost internet access to poor Americans. In a statement, Pai called the initial decisions a form of midnight regulation. These last-minute actions, which did not enjoy the support of the majority of commissioners at the time they were taken, should not bind us going forward, he said. The program, known as Lifeline, provides registered households with a $9.25 a month credit, which can then be used to buy home internet service. Well, let me tell you, I mean, again, any kind of help that you can get, but I don't know of any kind of internet service plan that you can get that's less than $30 maybe, and that'll be like a trial period for the first year, and the next year it's going to jump up to $60 or $80. Internet is not inexpensive, and $10 a month credit, I don't see that really helping nobody. But again, I wouldn't turn it down if I could qualify for it. Every little bit helps. But then, so they're talking about taking that, stopping these 9 companies from offering that to low-income consumers in their area. As many as 13 million Americans may be eligible for Lifeline that do not have broadband service at home, the FCC has found. Roughly 900 service providers participate in the Lifeline program. So, you can read the rest of this. I linked it up. I just was finding it interesting because when I was reading this article and about this program for poor Americans having broadband access to the internet, I started thinking about this article I read about Facebook coming up with a way to deliver free internet to people in Africa and other parts of the world for free. For free. That's what Facebook is talking about doing. They are testing that right now, how to deliver internet access to broadband consumers in these, let's just call them, underdeveloped countries and what have you. So I'm thinking, okay, man, the United States government and these corporations, they always be talking about giving away free money, free stuff, whether that's military equipment, whether, and now you got Facebook joining in with free internet for the rest of the world. So again, why do we have people in this country that have seem to be so against somebody getting something for free? You know, again, nothing is truly free. It's all bought and paid for by your tax dollars, by your service to this country, however way that may be. But again, you know, I don't know sometimes about what these people are thinking. Oh, so you can give the rest of the world free internet access. So what about us here in the United States? I could do a lot by saving money on internet access. So Mark Zuckerberg, if you listening, how about beaming some of that free internet here in the United States? Since, you know, a lot of people here in the United States use your platform. All right, so made you very rich. So anyway, let me continue with the next article. Please check that out. Africa's Trump policy is unclear. This is an article coming from allafrica.com. I'll share a little bit with you. It is analysis that is provided by somebody by the name of Johnny Carson. He says, from trade to human rights, what will Trump policies towards Africa look like? Obama's former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs highlights some likely changes. So when I read that part right there, okay, I'm getting this from somebody that's part of the system, so I better be, you know, just really scrutinizing this, because they're more than likely not sharing something and not being totally truthful. But let me share this. So they didn't even, my bad, I thought they went to an African and got his analysis. No, they went to somebody working for Obama, who used to work for Obama, and to get their comments on African affairs. I don't even know who this person is, Johnny Carson. I know it's not the late night TV show host, because he's dead, but I don't know who this person is. Anyway, Africa is not likely to emerge as one of U.S. President Donald Trump's foreign policy priorities, but the continent is almost certain to be affected by the fallout from his hardline foreign policy views, his strong anti-Muslim pronouncements, his vow to eliminate Islamic terrorism, and his America First economic policies. And the prospects are probably bleak for any bold new development initiatives targeted at Africa, like those rolled by his predecessors, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. Over the past two decades, U.S. Africa policy has enjoyed strong bipartisan congressional support from both Democrats and Republicans working together. But without a strong commitment to Africa in the White House or executive branch under Trump, the major programs that have defined U.S. policy in Africa for the past two decades will probably struggle to sustain the previous funding levels and state support. So let me just jump down a little bit. What are some of these programs that he's talking about? What are they talking about? That's what I want to know. What are these programs? Okay, let me jump down. President Obama pushed a strong Democratic agenda and launched half a dozen new development programs, including Power Africa, Feed the Future, and the Global Health Initiative. Before him, Bush's compassionate, in quotation, approach led to the establishment of the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief and the Millennial Challenge Corporation, two of America's most widely praised programs on the continent. It goes on to talk more about Trump, human rights, saying the Obama administration routinely spoke out against torture, detention, and extrajudicial killings, and pushed for greater gender equality and LGBT rights. Okay, so he was speaking out against torture, while people in his government is torturing people, while people in the federal prisons are being tortured with solitary confinement and all this. Oh, he's so against extrajudicial killings in Africa that he's sending drones over there to extrajudicial unconditionally kill people, right? Right. Again, these people, man, I always expect them to be lying to me about whatever they're talking about. They're not lying all the time, but, you know, I can see through their BS. The Obama administration routinely speaking out against torture, detention, and extrajudicial killings. The only time he ever spoke out against torture was when the CIA got exposed for using waterboarding. And he said it's not going to be used during his administration. No mention of banning other forms of torture, okay, like putting people in stress positions or putting them in a cell with all the lights out or what they call it, sensory deprivation and all of that. Oh, he's just not going to use waterboarding. This is why I don't like Obama. I really don't like this man, period, because he's such a hypocrite. And I know he wasn't totally in charge and whatnot. But guess what, though? He allowed himself to be put out there like he in charge, right? And he publicly argued for many of the policies. Or he was lying to you saying, I'm against this and that, this or that, while doing it secretly. So I don't need to read no more. This isn't even coming from an African. This is coming from an American. What are we going to do with Africa? See, this just tell you, man, our brothers and sisters on the continent, got much respect for you, but it seems like you have a lot of development and growth just like we do here on this continent behind these enemy lines. But you have access to resources. Seems unlimited. I know there's a limit to it, but you have all these resources, oil, diamonds, even though diamonds are dime a dozen before they're cut, that's an artificial value, but diamond mines, gold, cobalt, silver, magnesium, all kind of different minerals that are needed for industry. Africa there should not be a hungry person in Africa. But what happens? Well, you get a person in Libya. Let's use Liberia for example. Liberia, not that long ago, found huge oil deposits right off its coastline within their coastal waters, meaning their territory. What did they do? They signed a deal with some cracker corporation to drill the oil and get it out the doggone ground, and then Liberia gets 5% of the revenue generated from that. 5%, not 95%, 5%. Who made that deal? It's like y'all giving away Africa's resources. And the people, I'm speaking to our brothers and sisters in Africa, because y'all do tune in. We see you in the stats, but I'm speaking to y'all. And you know, I'm speaking to you out of love. But y'all, just like y'all had the same problem that black people have here in the United States. We elect these people. They get a little position. They get a little title. Okay, they get a little bit of power, and then they are all about themselves. And they don't work on the behalf of the people. That is what I see going on in Africa, in too many places. Africa should not be dependent on these crackers here in the United States for anything. You should be totally self-sustaining. You have land, rich, fertile soil. You can feed the world. You have all of these natural resources. Stop letting these people rob you. Get rid of these leaders that ain't nothing but sellouts. These are proxy races, stealing the people's resources and just giving it to these crackers. That just makes me angry. Now, I was thinking, okay, this was an article written by an African, some political analyst as they do have political analysts in Africa. Why did AllAfrica.com give space to this agent of the U.S. government? Huh? I don't understand this. So anyway, that's an article that I shared. I just think it's just disgusting that Africa has to be dependent. They don't have to be, but they are, you know, the United States is holding butter biscuits over their heads. Oh, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, we're not going to give you your monthly supply of butter biscuits. Africa should be cooking its own butter biscuits, not begging for or accepting anything from this country. So those are my thoughts on that. Last article. HBCUs. Trump is supposed to sign this executive order to support HBCUs, at least according to Omarosa, who went to a HBCU and is part of the Trump administration. So I don't really like the route. I don't like reading the route. It's partly owned by Henry Louis Gates, somebody I really don't have a lot of, you know, I ain't gonna say nothing bad about the brother, but let me just say that I think he's part of the plan to confuse people about a lot of stuff in this country. But anyway, he's part owner. He probably is a minority owner, but it's really owned by Univision. Univision, the Mexican media company. But for some reason, they don't have a Mexican running it. They got a white person from the United States running it. So that's who really owns the root. They like to showcase people like Henry Louis. So you think that, oh, black people own this and own that. And no, they don't. Okay? They don't. All right? But I don't like the way that they write. It's like they so freaking ghetto, man. Like black people, you know, we read in slang or something. It's just disgusting. It's just disgusting. And they're also always trying to play black people against Republicans. It's like, you know, they're like a mouthpiece or a propaganda outlet for Democrats. Again, black folks in this country, we should be non-affiliated. We shouldn't be affiliated with any of those two parties, because both of them are responsible for our continued enslavement in this country. So anyway, I'm going to skip over some of the ghetto stuff, and I'll just read some of the other stuff. President Donald Trump was surrounded by all his black folks on Wednesday. That's right, Omarosa. See, I don't like that kind of stuff, man. I don't. All his black folks trying to, you know, demonize black people and all this. I ain't hear them talking about the black folks, Hillary Clinton's black folks, the ones she got on her plantation or had. But according to BuzzFeed report, the White House is working on, you know what? That's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to BuzzFeed. I'm not even going to struggle through reading this ghetto piece of trash. The White House is drafting an executive order on HBCUs, sources say. Omarosa, how do you pronounce her last name? Monegault said during Wednesday's meeting that she is working on an executive order regarding historically black colleges and universities, according to a source. The White House is working on an executive order regarding historically black colleges and universities, according to three sources familiar with a Wednesday morning listening session with President Trump in commemoration of Black History Month. Speaking of Black History Month, I talk about black history or world history all the time, so I don't acknowledge this month in any kind of special way. We're always talking history. And but for those who want to focus only on this month and talk about black history, I hope y'all still not telling black folks that slavery was abolished in 1865 and by Abraham Lincoln. Stop telling that lie. All right. In the listening session convened by Omarosa, Trump made some of his most expansive remarks on Black history, including a controversial statement about Frederick Douglass, which led some to believe he didn't know if he was dead or alive. That was one piece of controversy. The administration also took heat because the only people involved were Trump surrogates who worked on the campaign or were already working for the administration. Big freaking deal. See, this some of the stuff. Okay, so who supposed to be working on it then? Hillary Clinton's people? Obama's people? This is ridiculous stuff, man. It's not clear what the executive order will do. Sources with knowledge of the executive order said, but the subject turned to HBCUs when Paris Denard, a political commentator who works on strategic communications for the Thurgood Marshall College Fund, a quick fact, historical fact about Thurgood Marshall. His son sits on the board of the world's largest private prison enslaver company, Thurgood Marshall Jr. But anyway, this person brought up the future of HBCUs during the meeting. Trump lavished Denard with praise for defending him on CNN when the cameras were still on. I don't care about that. All right, so anyway, when the White House press corps left, the mood changed. Denard told BuzzFeed he told the president that he could go down as one of the greatest presidents in modern history and that his support of HBCUs was badly needed, especially given how HBCUs fared under the previous administration. Denard and two other sources said this piqued the president's interest. According to two people in the room, Trump asked what the Harvard of HBCUs was. At least three people in the room affiliated with the school said Howard University, located a short distance from the White House. Trump asked how Howard was doing fiscally with enrollment and how it had done under President Obama. He was shocked and upset to learn what happened under the previous administration. Look, I'm going to stop there. This was an issue that was brought up all during the Obama administration. You had Black people saying that he didn't support them or he wasn't providing enough financial resources, or they had changed the rules to where people couldn't afford to go to HBCUs, like my daughter who wanted to go to a HBCU, who is now enrolled in a community college working towards her degree. But that criticism I felt was valid. But at the same time, I was saying, okay, if we got all these people that went to HBCUs and they're doing so great, why aren't they giving money back to the HBCUs, to their alma maters and what have you? Okay, so those are just some questions. That's not a criticism. That's a question that I had. Why are they doing so poor fiscally if they got all these graduates through all of these over 100 years, and these people hopefully have gone on to, you know, earn a great living, or what? Why aren't they giving back like that, you know, to these HBCUs? Again, anytime, like it was brought up this morning on our during our class. Somebody said, as a 501c3, does the Black Talk Media? I said, wait a minute. Black Talk Media Project, not a 501c3. We're North Carolina registered nonprofit. We're not a 501c3 because we don't want them federal government entanglements. We're not going to be getting any kind of grants from the federal government. We're not going to be applying for grants that require 501c3 status. So again, how am I connecting this? Anytime you take money from the federal government or any kind of special status from them, then guess what? You giving them jurisdiction over how you conduct your business, and strings will be attached. So I do hear someone on the board. I'm going to come to you. Let me get out this quick comment first. This is how I feel about it. I feel about if these Black people that's close to Trump can get him to do something for Black people by feeding into his ego and playing mental games with him and saying, hey, you can be better than Obama and do more for Black people than the first Black president, then guess what? I will support that. I will support that. Manipulate these people the way they manipulate us, okay? And if that's what, if that'll be his reason for supporting HBCU so he can outdo Obama, then so be it, because the HBCU is going to benefit. But we hope it's going to benefit. But we hope that it won't be anything that's going to have strings attached. But I don't have any kind of attachment to HBCUs because they still teaching slavery was abolished. All right. So, but what I'm saying is, for example, I'm in the new abolitionist movement. Our goal is to end slavery, legalize slavery. So if I could go to the Republican Party and say, you know, Lincoln didn't finish the job. The Republican Party started as an abolitionist party. Y'all can finish the job and go down its history as the party that finally ended legalized slavery. Let's get a constitutional amendment to repeal the 13th Amendment or remove its exception clause. And then you will rightly be remembered in history as people who stood up and abolished slavery. Now, I'll probably be sitting there thinking to myself, yeah, you dirty, nasty cracker, you need to do this, not just because so you can get some kind of kudos or something, because it's the right thing to do. But see, that's not how you talk to people when you want them to do something for you, okay? See, I don't want to say we don't know how to play the game, but a lot of people don't know how to play the game. I don't find any shame in saying I will manipulate people to get what I want. They do it to us all the time. Now, I'm not going to manipulate them to the point that where I'm harming them, but we're talking about the government. We're talking about racists. Yes, I will manipulate them to get justice. Let's see. Let me go to the call. We have a call from 478. Go ahead with your question or comment. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm glad you're having a good evening. It's a wonderful show so far. I appreciated what the previous caller, I think his name was Jerry, said. I thought that those were great comments. And in terms of what you're saying now, especially about black people talking bad about other black people, I don't think those people get that the only thing that does is entertain white people. And I just talked, hopefully this will bridge to your sports story. I guess this week Charles Barkley said something about LeBron James. LeBron James got mad and really went off on Charles Barkley. Something to do, whatever. And at first I was like, you know, yay LeBron for defending yourself. But then I started to think, you know, the only reason he knew what Charles said was some white guy brought it up while he was talking to him. Because he's like, I don't know what Charles said. I was playing video games with my son.
Right.
And I don't think black people get that it's, they do, when they do this, it's entertaining the white people. Because the white commentators were like, yes, this is great. I wonder what he's going to say next. I wonder what's going to happen here and there. And we don't need, I'm not saying don't have conflicts with black people. You know, everybody's not your friend. Yes, you have problems, this, that, and the other. But there are places you can take in private. Or like this platform, which is primarily listen to black people. And even then, you know, always be careful. You know, all you have to do is say, Charles said what he said. I disagree. Keep moving. Right. And I just think that's something that we don't need to participate in it, and we don't need to support it, because it's a cottage industry on YouTube. Black people need to do this, and black people need to do this, and they should be doing it. Well, if you think we should be doing, show us how to do it instead of being mean to one another. We have enough people being mean to us. We don't need help. They don't need help.
Right. I agree. Charles Barkley, though, he's made a career off of getting paid saying controversial stuff. And what that was about is LeBron James is dealing with the white owner of the Cleveland Cavs and trying to force his will upon the man that owns it, because LeBron knows that franchise ain't nothing without him. So he's exercising his power that he has acquired as a black man in that field on that particular team to get a better deal for the black people or the players or whatnot. Charles Barkley put it like this. If there's a labor union dispute, Charles Barkley is siding with management. He's not siding with the workers. Okay, he's siding with management. So that's how I can
I get that. He does that all the time.
Yeah, he does that.
And I know he does that all the time. He says something. But the point is, he wouldn't have known about it less, because I think LeBron was talking to some white guy in the locker room, and he said, do you know what Charles said?
Right,
it's
right.
Damn.
Oh, I get your point.
He's not thinking nothing about Charles.
Yeah, I get your point. And I do agree that LeBron James could have responded better, especially the way you just said, oh, he said something. He always saying something. You know, I don't care about what he had to say. Let's talk about something else, you know, because he know Charles. But he probably, Charles been talking about him for so long, it probably just got under his skin. And that's why he said what he said. But I agree with you.
I'm not mad at them. It's
right.
We need to understand it is the white people.
Right.
That is the problem.
For entertainment. Right. Right. Yeah, they want to see us arguing with each other, and they'll instigate certain things. Now, we're going to have disputes among ourselves because we have individual minds. We have different experiences, but we can have a dispute or we can have a disagreement and still be respectful of each other, you know. But it's when we get into this name calling and all of that. Oh, they love that, man. And especially when you talking about two high profile people like that. Oh, yeah, they going to keep it going in the media as long as they can, because they know there are certain types of people that like feeding off of that garbage. So, yeah, I agree with you. I agree with your point. We got another caller. Let me see. I can't see. Okay, now I can see it. 973, did you have something you wanted to share with us today?
Yes. Can you hear me, Mr. Reed?
Yes, ma'am. Greetings, Jersey girl.
That's right. That's me. Yeah, I agree with you 100% what you were saying about Obama. I mean, with respect to Trump, if they can manipulate him and boost his ego and he can do something for HBCUs, then right on. Because I believe that Obama, previous President Obama, should be shamed. There's a lot of things he could have done. My brother is a Republican. He lives down, I think, in your neck. No, he lives in South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina. But he was telling me, he said, Susan, you know, history is going to look back and say, you know, your black president, because he didn't vote for him, your black president didn't do anything for black people. What did he really do for black people? You know, if you can't get it done on the black president, then the next president is going to say, well, what did this president do for you guys? You know, again, with Charles Barkley, he was always this guy. I mean, to me, I mean, not to be talking to someone, but he has always been embarrassed every time he opens his mouth. And they asked him a comment. I turned him off. I just can't live. Throughout the years from his career, he's been a Republican, then he was a Democrat, and oh, this guy is just, he's like you said, he would be on the side of management and not on the side of the workers, no doubt. I think there was something else, I can't remember. But yes, I'm like, and when you talk about with respect to manipulation, I mean, you know, I'm a Malcolm X, and by any means necessary.
Right.
I mean, they have used everything in the book for us, Mr. Reed. So by any means necessary, and I think about nearly four. It's a codification, manipulation, whatever. But it's them being very codified. But I like the fact that they're twisting his ego, because you know he has a fat ego, and he's thinking, wow, I can outshame Obama. This is a good look for me, you know. But
yeah, I'm gonna do more for black people than the black president. Let me do that. Yeah.
Exactly. So thank you for letting me speak. Have a great day, okay?
You too. Thank you. Let me see. 478, did you have a question or comment?
Hello, that's me. Yeah, I already spoke.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go back to...
No, that's okay.
414.
Greetings, Brother Scotty.
Hey, Brother Rob.
Man, I'm trying to get used to your time, man. I just looked at my email and remembered you was on Saturday evening, man, so my apologies. But I just wanted to call in and build with you quickly, man. As far as the Charles Barkley and LeBron James issue, man, I don't like to see black people feuding, But if I be totally honest about it, I would say Charles Barkley had that coming. For as bad as he's been speaking out on black people and the things that he has been saying. And, you know, LeBron, man, politely, man, kind of put him in his place. And, you know, yeah, that's what that was my thoughts on that.
Yeah, Charles Barkley's a special kind of guy is the way that I'll put it. He's special. He's real special. So, yeah, man. But, yeah, I like the caller 478. I do agree with her, though. When we got white people coming to us asking us about what a black person said about us, we got to know. What's up? You know what I'm saying?
And definitely not, that.
Yeah.
I definitely in agreement with that. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm glad she shared that.
Point out, I think LeBron is probably feeling a lot of pressure right now and, you know, had a kind of an uncodified moment.
Yeah.
You know, but his career has been pretty much unblemished. But last thing before I jump off, I wanted to really just thank you for this platform, man. I have gained networking and have been able to build with other black people. And, you know, I'm in the position right now where I'm damn near totally alone. You understand what I'm saying, man? And the people on the network have provided that connection for me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Man, and it's almost like, you know, man, the people at the network is my family. You understand what I'm saying, man? Because I'm out here by myself. So I just really wanted to thank you for that.
Well, thank you for sharing that sentiment. And I do look at us as a family. I really, really mean that. You know, I feel that about us, a close-knit group.
Okay, I'm going to mute my line. I got some background noise going
okay.
on. Thank you.
Okay. Well, if I need to go over, I got about 15 minutes left, but if I need to go over, I can and I will. But the main topic, should black people play ball games? Now, every time there's the Super Bowl or some major sporting event, not all the time, and it's not like a whole lot of people, but I will come across comments of people evaluating or giving their opinion, which they're entitled to give their opinion, of course. You know, we want people to give their opinion. That's how we have dialogue on issues. But they'll say, you know, black people shouldn't play professional sports. They'll compare it to slavery and things of that nature. And I just have a different perspective on that. I'll say this about the slavery comparison. Ain't no comparison to slavery. All right. A professional basketball player, professional football player, tennis player, whatever they playing, they can quit at any time. They can choose to retire. Okay. If they say, you know what, I don't feel like playing basketball today. Ain't nobody gonna pull out no whip. Ain't nobody going to pull out no baton and go to beating on that person until they start playing basketball. So the comparisons to slavery are inappropriate, and we shouldn't make them because that minimizes what real people in slavery are going through this very day, this very hour, this very minute. There are people being abused on these modern day plantations, being forced to work for slave wages or no wages at all. They don't have a choice. If they choose, if they say, you know what, I'm not feeling good today, I think I'm going to call in sick. Oh, no, that's not happening. Okay, you really, really, really better be sick for real and going on your way to the hospital or the prison infirmary. But if there's nothing wrong with you, you're going to work. Or they're going to throw you in the hole, which is solitary confinement, which is torture, or they might just beat your ass. Okay? These are things that go on a plantation. So I just really get offended when I hear people compare playing professional sports to slavery. Those who play sports do so by their own free will. Those who are enslaved are there against their free will. Big difference there. And not only the physical surroundings and circumstances, but also in the part about expressing free will. Okay. And then also, athletes get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's the ones that don't get paid a lot. I think the minimum pay, like they have minimum pay for football players or minimum contracts for basketball players. I think, like, for example, the minimum veterans pay for a year or minimum salary is a couple of hundred thousand a year, about what the CEO of USA Inc. make, or even more. How is that slavery? I ain't never heard of a slave being compensated like that. That's not slavery. There's no comparison. There's no comparison whatsoever. I see where people try to make the comparison because you got an owner, what's known as the owner. That's the owner of the franchise of the sports team. And then you got the players. And so, but that's still not slavery. But that's how I see people trying to make the connection just based off of the person who owns the team is called the owner and the players work for the owner. Well, damn it, that's every job you own, ain't it? If you work in a factory, do you not have somebody who owns that factory that's paying you to do whatever it is you're doing in that factory, whether you are working on an assembly line or whether you emptying trash cans? Somebody owns that factory and you are working for that owner. I don't see it. There's no comparison to slavery. It's none. Now, in terms of should we be playing sports? I heard people say, well, you know, all you're doing is entertaining white people. And so what? Big deal. And it's not just white people who's watching these games. It's all people are watching these games. So to say like they're only entertaining white people is incorrect. They're entertaining whoever buys a ticket, whoever turns on the TV. Okay? It's no different than any other form of entertainment. All right? There's nothing wrong with entertainment. There's nothing wrong with it. Everything, as long as you don't spend most of your working day being entertained, you know. But in terms of should we play? Yes, we should play. Where else can a black man make that much money in such a short amount of time? Where else? Okay? I know it's not always about the money, but let's not act like they selling drugs. Let's not act like they are on a prison plantation helping to keep our people in chains. Let's not act like I was in the military being deployed to non-white countries to go kill people, to help crackers kill non-white people. They're not doing any of those things. So how we gonna act like what they doing is so much worse than what somebody else is doing? All right? I would have loved to been able to play professional basketball. I wanted to play professional basketball. I think I was that good, but there's a lot of people that probably think they was that good. But I really was good at basketball. I wanted to go to college and play basketball. I ended up not being able to play basketball in college, although I did make it to college. I had a family by that time, and I had grown mature enough to know that I'm too old now to be chasing basketball dreams, and I need to find me a vocation and feed my family and take care of my family. But you think about going back to when they first started allowing black people, black men in particular, to get into professional sports. They didn't want them. They did not want them. But then when those men like Jim Brown, like I'm not going to speak too much on Jackie Robinson because I don't ever recall him speaking out against racism or white supremacy or anything. I just don't recall. But Jim Brown, Lou Alcindor, also known as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, when they were in I think he was in college at the time, a couple of other black pro sports players that were real prominent and in the public eye, they had a press conference backing Muhammad Ali, saying that, yeah, we support Muhammad Ali. We don't think that he should be forced to go to Vietnam and kill 9 white people. So we support him not, you know, participating in the draft, because they had the draft at the time. All right. A lot of these entertainers, let me go outside of sports, Harry Belafonte, you know, singing and dancing, entertaining people. But guess what he was doing with his money? He was helping to buy guns and run guns for the Deacons for Defense. When I look at these local sports, professional sports players in Charlotte, and I see them in the community giving back, giving stuff to helping, feeding poor people, giving these kids school supplies and coats and even, I mean, the stuff that they do, they wouldn't be getting that help if them black players wasn't providing it, okay? Those would just be some hungry children that ain't got no school supplies or what have you. These people give a lot back to our community, okay? All of them are not taking their money and just blowing it on strippers and fancy cars and houses that got so many rooms that they don't even go in all of them. All of these players are not blowing their money like that. Some of these players are being smart with that money, and many of these football players are getting smarter. Now, if I had to tell black people not to participate in something, that would be the sport. Don't participate in football, because now we know what kind of damage it does to your brain with these concussions and stuff. And so even these football players that's playing professionally are wising up, and many of them are retiring after their first contract. Okay, they sign that first contract, they get however many millions they gonna get, and then they retire before they do permanent damage to their bodies. And then they take that money and they invest it in businesses, hopefully in businesses in our communities, to where they're hiring us. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. I don't see the difference between Cam Newton going to Bank of America Stadium to do his job, then if I was still working for this dye company based in Germany but had a plant here in the area, hey, I'm still, at the end of the day, we both still working for white people. So that's why I don't get why we want to pick on athletes as if they doing something so wrong. Use, get that money and use that money to fund our liberation. You know, if Colin Kaepernick wasn't a professional football player, I doubt very seriously he would have had $1 million to give to black grassroots organizations to work against racism and white supremacy. So that's all I'm saying is, I feel like a lot of people are wrongly criticizing professional sports players when they ain't doing no different. It's a job just like any other job. So those are my thoughts. The rest of, if anybody has any comments on that, we'll close out with your comments. So does anybody want to chime in on that? Okay. If no, then we will keep it moving. But yeah, that's just how I feel. I feel like these guys and women as well, Serena Williams plays professional tennis, gets paid millions of dollars, and some of that money she directs towards Compton and helping black children. Okay? So, I mean, it's a lot of stuff that's being done by these people that you sometimes never know about. Because I have come across stories to where some of these athletes don't want their names put out there or attached to it. It's like a religious sort of thing where, they, you know, you're not supposed to do stuff for to be praised. Like Cam Newton and them, they had an event in Charlotte. They barred for the kids. They barred the media. They was like, no, y'all can't come in here. We ain't talking to the media. We ain't doing this to be seen by or to get pats on the backs from anybody. Okay, so no, we don't want your cameras in here. We don't want that going on. All right. So I just feel like that people are not considering that these people are getting paid more money than many of us will ever see in our life. And in a lot of cases, they are using that money to help people. Why would anybody got a problem with that? I don't understand. But I do hope that this trend continues in football, that these young men will get that first contract. And it depends on what position you're playing. But that is a violent sport. It causes long-term damage to where you won't be able to enjoy the millions of dollars that they done paid you. Okay? So get out. Get that first contract for however many millions you can get. And then start your business and go into that. I remember these crackers around here was criticizing Cam Newton because when he got drafted, he came out in his junior year, something like that. Yeah. So he still had two more years to get his psychology degree. He wants to work with children. So they was criticizing him on the airways around here for him going back to school. Talking about, see, some of them do view them as slaves. Some of these crackers, they was like, oh, his job is football. He getting paid millions of dollars. He should be in the stadium studying football film and not going to school trying to get a degree. This is what some of these crackers was saying, man, for real. They think that these people are they slaves, but they're not. And so Cam Newton went to school, got his degree. Now he's also started his own media company to produce media for children. Okay? He's setting himself up for after football. And I hope a lot more of them will do that. All right? Just get that money, and then get out while you got good health, and then fulfill your entrepreneurial dreams. That's my thoughts on that. All right. If there's no comments, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. And let me see what's going on tomorrow. Tomorrow, I can't think of anything right now. But please stay tuned to the station. We always have content going on 24/7. You can find the station schedule on blacktalkradionetwork.com if you are interested in producing internet radio, digital radio, anything dealing with new media. Again, we have classes every Saturday from 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern to 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern. That is a commitment that the Black Talk Media Project has made towards this mission of elevating independent black media. So thank you all for... Hey. I'm sorry, did somebody have something?
Hey, Scott, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Before you get off, about these, I've been listening on and off because, you know, I told you I have my oldest daughter here.
Yeah, no problem.
Maybe a little bit of confusion. But I've been listening on and off, and as far as this, it's going to be, we play sports naturally. Before they had the NFL, NBA, MLB, or hockey or any of that. We do that just to occupy our times. What I'm confused about is why haven't we started our own league up again? Since we are the focal point of these leagues, you know, isn't that the whole reason why they shut down the Black Basketball League?
They never really had a Black Basketball League. What you're talking about is the ABA. That's who Dr. J got his start with. That was just a separate league. It wasn't the Black League, but they would hire black players, you know, more than what you saw. You saw more black players in the ABA than you did in the NBA at that time.
Why haven't we started our own league for all of these, like, say, I know Chuck, the woman spoke about Chuck earlier, and yeah, he be doing some foolishness, but him, Shaq, Kenny Smith, you know, Michael Jordan owned his own franchise or somewhat on it. All of these prominent black athletes, how come they ain't got together and started their own league?
I heard Isaiah Thomas, you remember him? No, Isaiah Thomas. Remember Isaiah Thomas for the Detroit Pistons?
Oh, yeah. I know who Isaiah Thomas is, but I haven't heard anything about that, about him trying to put together a league.
Well, it's been a year since I read that article, but I read that that's what he was trying to do. And I imagine, though, Jerry, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard because you already got these established leagues out here. And, you know, trying to start up a new league, I can see the difficulties in that. Because, like, you know, they got the D League. The NBA has the D League. That's like, you know, those franchises have these little semi-pro teams and whatnot. So, I mean, I really can't answer that. I do think it would be hard since you already have the established, you know, long-running NBA, NFL, or whatnot. But, I mean, who knows how it could become successful if nobody ever tries it. So, I really can't answer that. I don't know.
But that's my point, though. You know, it's always a first in
right,
something.
Right.
And it's not only people in our stature that's looking for things like this. You know, who was that? Ice Cube. I mentioned Ice Cube a few seconds ago. You know, he got this little 3-on-3 thing that he's trying to start up. Now, what if they advance that to just a regular league? And they start drafting some of the players, you know, because these.
I believe you're right, though, man. I think it could be done. I think it could be done, you know, because there's a lot of players that don't make it to the NBA and what have you. It's a good question.
When you look at, because it's a lot of stars that's out there that's playing that don't get the money that LeBron James and Kobe Bryant and, you know, all of these other players that they don't get. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be a waste of talent.
You know what I would do, Jerry? I'm sorry to interrupt you. If I was in their position, I would go to Africa and start these leagues.
That's a good point right there. The overhead wouldn't be as much. And, you know, I'm sure it's brothers over there, brothers and sisters, because it's a men and a women's league. So it's people over there that can ball. And, you know, the same thing with, because when we look at the same thing with football and all of the other sports, when you look at it, everybody's number one player, when we talking about overall, most of them are us anyway.
Right.
So they gonna follow the talent. So if they get to seeing where these such and such is not playing with our league no more, let's just switch the channel and see what they doing.
Yeah.
And then so it's even now you got a competition going on. And before long, these folks, either they're gonna have to find something different to do or they're gonna have to bend to our will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's only really two choices that they got. You either bend to the will or you take over. Now you can have all of the business plan that you want, all of the media access and whatnot, but with the internet being so prominent, you know, even if they don't have these television deals, you know, you can stream it on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, live stream YouTube like you do the show.
Right.
And subscribers come in.
Right.
And before long, they're going to notice that all of these viewers coming in to see this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need to up this up, because everything, as far as in this business, where everything is about money.
Right.
It's obvious that we have the we have the upper hand. We just don't use it.
Yeah, we have the leverage. We're not using it. But I'm thinking about this Africa thing, man. That's what I really would do. Because, excuse me, you got the European League. You right. even got leagues in South America. And some of these players make it over here to the NBA. But I ain't never heard of no African league. So if I was these players, I would go there.
I mean, think about that, though. Why would you? When you think about, we all, well, most of us that listen to this show, if not all of us, are of African descent. Now, when you get to the actual continent, you have a lot more people that haven't been, well, I don't want to say the word tainted, but that's the only thing that I could come up with in my brain right now. They haven't been tainted. So let's think about the racers during the Olympics and whatnot. When we see these African runners, you know, whether they jumping hurdles, you know, the skill level is so much higher, and it could, and I know it's a whole lot to do with being impoverished. I know that's always a great motivator to do something better, to get away from the point that you are.
Mm-hmm.
But we just are so much more dominant physically. I ain't gonna get into what else we dominant in, but just as far as the physical aspect, mm-hmm. there wouldn't be any competition.
Mm-mm.
At all. They yeah. would have to come
now
and act with us.
I want to say this, though, about sports, because you said something earlier and it kind of reminded me and I didn't bring it up. Most of these games, white people didn't invent. Indigenous people invented.
No, they sure didn't.
They might have
especially
changed
hockey,
yeah,
because that's the one that they cling to the most. But that wasn't invented by a white person either.
No, that was invented by Plains Indians, if I'm not mistaken. So when I hear people talk about it, and I'll be like, you don't realize that indigenous people created a lot of these games, and the reasons for games was for a way for warriors to train without killing each other. You know what I'm saying? It helps you with your agility, your strength, your speed. So you just had warriors competing in sports. That's how it all came about. Okay? And so I think, though, that those people who have low opinions of athletes, or they say black people shouldn't do this or shouldn't play sports, I think those are non-athletes speaking. I think they never participated in organized athletics, not even in pickup games, you know, because, hell, man, we used to play football when I was like 13, right down the street in this big old field, man, tackle football. It just about every Saturday, if we wasn't doing that, we was on the basketball court and what have
right.
you, you know.
Or the baseball diamond.
Yeah.
And I don't even like baseball, but I used to love to play it. One of the biggest sports in our neighborhood, man, was the Turkey Bowl. Before they even started having Turkey Bowl on TV,
mm-hmm.
we was having the Turkey Bowl. Everybody in the neighborhood, this neighborhood versus this neighborhood. You know, and there was several of these games.
Yeah, that's how we would do it. Yeah, neighborhood against neighborhood. Yeah. Hey, ain't that better than us shooting up each other? You know? Huh?
I mean, that's what the equivalent is. You know, we would have a problem. We would be fighting this neighborhood when we went to the mall or whatever. You know, Thanksgiving come around. Everybody, before we go eat, everybody meet up. Whatever differences we had right then, we settle it right there in the little, I ain't going to say a football field because we didn't have one. We just had little pastures,
mm-hmm.
you know. Whatever the biggest field in that particular neighborhood, this year we're having in this neighborhood, next year we're having in this neighborhood, and it'll alternate, you know, a little home field advantage type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, everybody would come out, including mamas, grandmamas, daddies, granddaddies, you know, they would all come out to see who was going to do what, you know. And a couple of those people from my neighborhood, a couple of those people went on to the NFL and end up playing. You
cool,
know, and those
cool.
wasn't even the best people on the field.
Mm.
But you know, it ain't just ability. You know, it's a mental challenge too, because everybody can't compete with what's going on mentally, dealing with the stress from school.
Right.
Because it's a lot of stress in school also.
Right.
That
right.
a lot of people don't understand. If you ain't never went to college, dealing with not only the schoolwork, but the people that you may not have interacted with throughout kindergarten, middle school, high school, you get to running into these racist people.
And then if they find out you play sports, and then if they find out you play sports, they trying to get a piece of you because they betting that you might make it to the pros or something. Yeah, it's a lot to deal with, man. It's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a, like you said, it's a whole lot to deal with. And, you know, I figure it would be difficult. Don't get me wrong. And it's probably easier for me to say this, considering I don't have the money to even be part of an investment to do this. Because don't nobody, no matter how much money you got, don't nobody want to lose any money.
Right.
You know, if you're a billionaire and you lose $1 million, you know, somebody like me, well, not me because I know better, but, you know, somebody in my standards might be like, it's just $1 million. You know, you worth $100 billion. You know what I'm saying? Why are you worried about that? You know, because it's my money. That's why I'm worried about it.
That's how they got to accumulate what they got. They hate losing it.
Exactly. So I understand that, but it's enough. It's plenty.
Mm-hmm.
Because here go the thing right here, is that we know that a lot of these athletes, they live big, especially the ones that come from circumstances like me. They get money and they want to enjoy it. And not only do they want to enjoy it, they want the people who came up with them to enjoy it also, whether those people are good for them or not.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand is that doing the type of stuff that I done throughout my life, I done took chances on a lot less things. You know, I done took big chances on the reward that I was gonna get was gonna be small, but the risk that I was taking, that if it had went bad for me, it could have been so much more greater.
Mm.
And I'm sure a lot of us done this before we learned whatever we know at this particular moment. And we have so many people that done went on to do these, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, a few of us in hockey again now, you know, tennis. I mean, small things like ping pong, billiards, you know, because they got all of these sports that we played in the boys' club, the girls' club. They got all of these things they making money off of. If just a few of them pool their money together, just a few, like you mentioned, Cam Newton starting his own media company, you know, as much as I can't remember the dude, and I don't really pay no attention to him because he be dressing up in the dresses and whatnot, Tyler Perry.
Yeah. Yeah.
He got all of this money, and he doing this, he got his own media company. Why is he not putting on some other up-and-coming playwriters? You know, and I don't mean like the people that's close to him, because he go everywhere and he donate to everybody. Why not donate to some of those people right there in Atlanta that you live around? Not that you necessarily live around, but in your area, you know, go to some of their schools and prep up they arts, you know. Just all of these things, because we give to everybody else but us. And you mentioned this early in the broadcast about how we give to everybody else.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and not only do we give to everybody else, we forgive everybody else. Mm. But like the young lady was saying, I believe it was Jersey Girl, it's like, because I feel LeBron. I don't think he should have let Charles Barkley slide the first time. Because it done been the whole, ever since LeBron came into the league, he been jumping on LeBron.
Yeah, that's why I was trying to say, yeah, he been really, I can understand LeBron losing his patience in that instance. I get what she was saying, but then sometimes you also have to look at the bully factor too. You got to punch a bully in the mouth or he just going to keep bullying you.
I mean, just think about this. LeBron got children. He got children. And now they up to the age to where they see this stuff. You know, when they was children, well, when they was babies and they didn't understand what might have been said, you know, you could overlook that stuff. But now you have your children, even if it wasn't a white dude that came to him, you know. Mm-hmm. What are you going to tell his sons when they say, why Charles Barkley keep saying that to you? I mean, because I done been in that position. Mm-hmm. I have four daughters and a son. So I done had my daughter say, why this person keep saying this, that, and the other about you? You know, what you going to say to that? You know, everybody look up to you, and then out of all of those people, your children, it's the person that come to you and is like, what's up with this?
Right.
You know, so I think you should have, I would have attacked him a long time ago, because we get taught that we shouldn't be prideful. But we the only people to get taught that.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else prideful. They take pride in what they doing, you know, and you can't dismiss they pride or question it. But we the only ones that get that.
See,
what I think got to LeBron
though is the particular topic. LeBron trying to make deals on the plantation, you know, and again, I shouldn't have said that because I don't think it's right to compare slavery to professional sports, but he dealing with workplace stuff. You know what I'm saying? He trying to get something out this white man. Shut the hell up, Charles, and mind your own business.
Because he ain't just an athlete. You know, he's an advocate for everybody else who worked with him. And, you know, it's going to be some people that turn on you. That's why he left Cleveland in the first place. They say he was chasing for a ring, but, you know, he was advocating for Delonte West. I'll never forget that. He was advocating for Delonte West because they wanted him gone a couple of years earlier, and this dude ended up sleeping with his mama.
Yeah,
I was
about to say that. That's messed up. So, yeah, I would have left Cleveland,
you know,
too, under those circumstances. Yeah.
You know, and he's been doing this since he was a child. You know, all of his buddies from high school that didn't make it.
Man,
you know,
I ain't got a bad word.
Up there with him anyway.
There's not too much bad you can say about LeBron James, man. Just really not. I know he's not a perfect human being, but none of us are, but all I see is this man cares about his family. He cares about his community. And if you work with him and you with him, he care about you. And you know what I'm saying? So I don't see why anybody have a bad word to say about the man. And as much as he doing for them kids up there in Akron, where he come from with that foundation of his and sending them to college, you know. So I ain't
right.
got nothing bad to say about LeBron James. I'm glad that he is the type of man that he is. But listen, Jerry, we got to get out of here, man. Good hearing from you. I know, you know, well, we talk on Tando, so I'll see you on Tando, bro.
Yeah, thank you for the time, Scotty, man. I always look forward to hearing you, though. That's man, I miss the 4 o'clock show, though. I ain't going to tell you no lie.
I'll bring it back, though, when I get some of these goals I've set, you know, accomplished. But I'm just trying to blow the network, make, you know, blow it up bigger, reach even more people, and bring on, you know, help more black people create these sort of platforms. So that's what I'm really focused on. But I like being on air and talking about these issues with the audience, but it's just my time constraints right now. I need to focus on stuff behind the scenes to grow it.
Oh yeah, I understand, brother. And I'm gonna have to do like Brother Braggs. I'm gonna have to just send you something in the mail, because I have other issues on the other end, so I'm
going
to do like Brother Braggs and just send it to you.
Okay.
And then you hook me up after that.
All right. Well, I certainly appreciate it. All right. So we come to the end of the broadcast. This is BTR News. I come on every Saturday, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. I'll be back next week. Nothing happened in between then, but I just want everybody to be safe behind these enemy lines. Slavery was never abolished, but we're working on ending it. Oh, which reminds me, I'm going to work on bringing more people on to highlight those who are participating in this upcoming march against slavery and for prisoners' human rights in August, this march on Washington, D.C. All right. Peace and blessings to all. Y'all be safe.